Well, good morning. Welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Got some good news and some bad news. Oh, be careful with that.
Does it make you nervous?
Yes. What, is that coffee in there?
Yeah, it's got a top.
Oh, it does. Oh, okay. I didn't notice it had a top on it.
Yeah.
It looks very full as you're holding
very
it
full.
Right over your computer.
It's a clear top.
Yeah.
It looks, yeah, like we don't.
Yeah, no open containers in the studio.
We try not to, right?
Yeah.
Because we
Unless
all
it's beer on Fridays, which
yeah,
is hilarious.
That's fine.
Which is hilarious because that's just pure chaos. Like sometimes foam is just bubbling and boiling over the tops of the head.
Yeah. We make exceptions to the rules. Okay. Good news, bad news to start. What would you like first?
Dave, today's show could probably go with some bad news.
Firefighters in New Mexico shared home security video of a very bad boy.
What happened?
Video of a dog that caused a house fire by knocking over an ironing board.
Oh.
It's a 9-month-old puppy, Kahuna, putting his front paws on the ironing board inside of the resident's home, causing the board and surrounding objects to fall onto the floor grate connected to the home's furnace. The heat from the furnace grate caused some items to melt and material traveled through the grate, entered the home's furnace, sparked the fire. So when I first read this, I'm like, well, it's his idiot's fault for leaving their iron on. Not the case. Total freak accident. Kahuna and the family's other dog, Paige, escaped the home uninjured. Firefighters able to save most of the home by extinguishing the flames before it became too widespread.
I mean,
bad boy.
That's a
bad boy.
How did it, like, did the dogs alert the family that there was also a fire after causing it? Or
no, they weren't home. They weren't home.
So they just
noticed because their
house was on fire.
It was the home security footage that caught all this going down.
Doesn't so
that,
Kahuna mean nuts?
What?
Doesn't it's don't Audrey. Kahunas? Just want to roast some.
I know there's like
the
big
means a wise man or a shaman or a very large wave.
It's a very large wave. The big kahuna is what you're thinking. The large
kahuna. Large kahuna.
Cajones.
Cajone.
Oh my God. She's thinking of Kahlua. Oh no.
By the way, I'm definitely naming my next dog Cajones.
I'm naming my cajones kahunas.
Is that two wise men? Yes.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Here's what's making news.
So this is a really sweet story. A 8-year-old kid named Keone Ching from Vancouver, Washington, just a normal 8-year-old who wanted to help out his schoolmates, had all these handmade keychains that he was selling for $5 a piece. He raised over $4,000, $4,015 to be exact, to erase the school lunch debt of students from his school and six others.
Oh, wow.
It all started because Kindness Week was going on at a school at Benjamin Franklin Elementary, and his mom, April, Father Barry by his side. He got into it, ultimately inspired by Richard Sherman, the cornerback from the 49ers, who previously paid for the Seattle Seahawks to donate more than $27,000 to cover kids' lunches. He said he decided to make keychains because, quote, I love keychains. They look good on my backpack. And so
do what you love, so man. Do what you love.
Yeah, and so he was making all these keychains, hand-making them, selling them to the tune of over $4,000, paid off the school lunch debt.
I love that these already got into the, you know, feeling of giving and entrepreneurship at such a young age.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Very inspiring.
It's not just him making those. So he had to like rope his mom. Aunts got involved. That's 800. That's like 800 ish.
He hired an overseas sweatshop.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Well,
this started
like
off
every
really
other
nice,
entrepreneur.
Like
right?
I learned from Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Oh man, that's sad. How about this? You really enjoy taking cruises, right?
Yeah, I love cruises.
I think that probably cruises stop being fun when you can't get off the cruise ship.
No, not at all.
No?
I know what story you're going into, and I am
is how you want to die?
An extra 2 weeks on a cruise ship?
Do they
Sign
have enough,
me up.
Do they have enough food?
Yeah.
Do they have enough things?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They are quarantined because there's people on the ship that have the coronavirus. So a Princess cruise ship with 3,711 people on board is under mandatory quarantine for 2 weeks off the coast of Yokohama in Japan after 10 passengers on board tested positive for the coronavirus. Wait, aren't you going to Japan soon?
Yeah.
You only have the coronavirus there?
Maybe I'll get to stay on a cruise ship for an extra 2 weeks.
No, but it's extra 2 weeks of just sheer panic. You know, everyone is so nervous.
Yes,
yes, there's two people
on
the
ship. I'm not worried.
Who knows what they've touched?
Oh, well. I'll stay in my room like, oh, darn. I get to stay in my room and eat cruise ship food. This is
you,
the
you
panic.
Say that. You say that. I feel differently.
You could feel differently. I don't. I would love this. Like, I don't got to go back to work for 2 weeks.
Guess what? You never have to go back to work if you're dead.
So here's the thing. Unfortunately, it's either the very young, like babies, or the very old who are dying.
No, there's
this.
Also, I mean, that's the majority,
the
like
who
everything.
Are already like immune deficient. Like I'm as much as I treat my body
Dr.
like
Mahoney
garbage,
over here.
I'm a pretty healthy person.
Really? Tell me about most of the people that have died.
Old or young or already sick and immune deficient.
All right.
Much like the flu every other year.
560 people have died.
How many people died from the flu last year? Same amount.
But this is just in a couple weeks.
This is just what the news is talking about. Seriously, it's like this.
They have quarantined over 3,700 people on a cruise ship. It's not like the normal flu.
They do that when there's poop there too, man.
God,
it's like
when there's poop on a boat, they make you not get off a boat.
If there is a illness on there, they can quarantine boats.
Right, especially one that spreads incredibly fast and kills people. Almost instantly.
It doesn't
yes.
let you come
you
overseas
mean like the flu.
And get on
yeah.
planes.
No,
not
like that. No. That has existed for the history of mankind. Again, a lot of people getting crazy about this.
You are going to hate this guy. His name is James Poddock. He is a 28-year-old, and he falsely claimed he had the coronavirus, causing a flight from Toronto to Jamaica to return to the airport, and said that he made that claim because he wanted to make a viral video.
Well, he went viral.
Mm-hmm. And we actually have some audio that I'll play for you. But here's the quote. Well, I had my camera with me, and I was looking to get a viral video. So I was looking up on social media what people were talking about, and I figure I would get a reaction on the plane.
I had my camera with me. I was looking to get a viral video. I was looking to get it up on all the social media platforms. I figured it would invoke some type of reaction. I was looking to create a video, yes, that would go viral. Mm. Yeah.
For what purpose, though, to go viral?
I'm an artist. Any publicity for myself is good publicity.
I feel like he was saying that so calmly. It was like so sociopathic. Like, how do you just say that and have no remorse? I felt like he did not feel sorry. He did not feel bad for inciting so much chaos on a plane.
No, you can tell that he feels totally justified even still.
Yes.
When he's had time to reflect on it and is now facing the consequences.
That's a sociopath.
Well, here's because the thing. He is an artist, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
To create a video,
a BS
yes,
artist.
That would go viral. Mm. Yeah.
For what purpose, though, to go viral?
I'm an artist. Any publicity for myself is good.
So
publicity.
He's going to face some serious legal ramifications. I think he's going to be added to a no-fly list because this is basically a form of domestic terrorism
right.
by trying to incite that.
Incite panic
and riot.
Mid-flight.
Yeah. Yeah. And on top of
hence
that,
the name terrorist.
I hope the airlines sue him for lost time, lost wages,
hope he
lost
has to
fuel.
Pay for all of it.
And all 250 people who were going from Toronto, which is cold as hell right now,
to lovely
Jamaica, which is nice and tropical. And warm this time of year. I hope all of them sue this piece of crap. Like
they were just ready to get down there and hear "Welcome to Jamaica," Mon.
The steel drums.
Welcome to Jamaica.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Question for Dave. So, as a dad for two girls, does your oldest daughter ever play you against your wife? Or does she ever, like, bribe you into something that you weren't scheduled to do, but you go and do it anyways? Like, she'll tell you, Dad, let's go get ice cream. And you'll be like, well, all right, then let's go get some ice cream.
Message deleted.
No, I mean, she's four. You know, I'm sure that stuff's coming. But, I mean, the only thing that I've seen that's even remotely like that is her getting a no from my wife and then coming to ask me.
Because you'll give her the yes?
Yeah, of course. I'm the fun dad.
Yeah.
I mean, because my wife is around them all day, every day, right? So she can't be the fun one because she has to, you know, keep
discipline,
them in line and discipline and everything else. But I'm the fun one. You know, I show up and hang out and
good
totally
times.
Acts everything that mom has put into place. You're just like,
no, I mean, we obviously are a team, so I try not to contradict her too much. But yeah, I mean,
the manipulation won't come until they're probably like, what, like 10 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, that's
right in there. And then they start playing on your emotions. Mm-hmm. But you're already have like 7 other kids by that point. You're just gonna be like, you're just one of many.
Yeah. I only have so much love in my heart. I've had to divide it over 7 kids.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey everyone, let's get awkward. You all have to go around and tell us the last time you had sexy time. Like, yes, with a significant other. And I know Mahoney's probably done the other thing at least twice already, so thanks.
Message
deleted. Who
says deleted.
I'm not doing it right now?
I think it's totally inappropriate that you would say that doing it with ourselves is not sexy time.
Yeah, that's rude.
Yeah, like I draw a bath, light some candles, yes. Put some incense on, play sure. Some sweet, sweet music from Kenny G, treat myself right, because I deserve it. I've worked a hard day. Actually, I wish I had a bathtub that I could fit in.
That's you can't fit in. Don't you have one of those big tubs and you still
I'm
can't
tall.
Fit in?
I'm tall. No, I got you're a long tall. Torso. Yeah,
yeah. Both of your like just feet sticking out of by the faucet.
You really get into it, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I just quickly try to get things done in front of the computer and then act like it didn't happen.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So I just found my old iPod from back in the day. It's basically like a mini time machine. Also has me wondering why the hell was I listening to some of the music I listened to at age 12? I was not bumping or grinding. Horn dog.
Message deleted.
You were just tweeting about this the other day, weren't you?
Well, music is basically a time machine. It can take you back, the feelings that it invokes. But I feel like, you know, when we were growing up, when we were younger, Dave, in like the early 90s, you know, music, like, I don't, were you listening to the lyrics of songs? I just liked the tempo or the beat or things like that like really got me into it at that point. Like, that's like when I was like, that's the pop music I like because that's what I grew up with. But like when you go back and you like listen to what they were talking about, even like
you could be sitting there, you could be sitting there singing Tag Teams, even Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah.
And thong song from Cisco.
Yeah, that's a little after.
Oh, that's my age and Ian's age. Like that was like when we were in
my
elementary
anaconda
school.
My anaconda don't want none unless you've got buns, hun. I didn't know what that meant.
I thought he wanted like some baked goods.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Again, my anaconda don't want none unless you got baked goods, son.
I'm like, oh, he's got a pet snake. Still doesn't make any sense. An anaconda, what are you talking about?
Even just
garter
a little
snake.
Later than that, Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Gotta get with my friends? Excuse me, what?
Well, that's just you gotta win the friends
no,
over.
It was not.
Yes, it was.
It
that's
was
what
talking
that means.
About a giant orgy.
Wait, it was?
That's not
what?
How that song.
I don't think so.
No.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So, I don't know if this is going to become a trend across the entire country, but the state of New York has effectively banned broker fees, which often cost thousands of dollars for renters. I mean, we all know how expensive it is to live in New York, but I mean, the fact that you're getting hit with additional costs because of quote unquote broker fees and you can't do anything about it, that stinks. So real estate agents have long served as basically the gatekeepers to the rental market, offering up listings and apartment viewings in exchange for a fee that could be as much as 15% payment of the total cost of a year-long rental.
Whoa.
So for a $2,000 a month apartment, you'd have to cough up $3,600 up front.
Yeah, a way that usually works, I would say the standard fee from what I saw was, so you pay for 12 months, you pay for your rent, and they get a 13th month tacked on there that the brokers get.
Oh my gosh, that's so sometimes, bad. I have a friend that's moving up there right now.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So New York City is one of the only cities in the country that has that system,
like,
and now New York State has said, bam, not anymore.
I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time now. I mean, just you watch the middle class just get squeezed with when it comes to housing.
Yep.
You know, most people are paying over half of their income in some cases, and it's
so this is the sort of thing that upsets you because it's like each person along the way is getting hit with this when you move there, right?
Yeah.
And it's really tough. This is also probably going to make you none too pleased. Amazon paid a 1.2% tax rate on their profits for 2019. Would you like to know how much they profited?
They paid 1% on their profits.
Right. So, I mean, if you think about what you pay for your tax rate, it's probably somewhere in like the 25 to 35% rate.
Mine was, I think, like 35%, 40%.
Like when you get your paycheck, you look at, you're like, I can't believe that this much has gone from taxes.
Yes.
So let's just say on the low end, it's 20%.
Yeah.
Right?
Low end.
Low end, it's 20%. Amazon is paying 1%.
That is
on their profit, which was in 2019, $13,285,000,000.
That is
1%.
Crazy.
1%.
So how can that even be a thing? How
because
it's such a large...
They keep giving these tax breaks to these huge corporations. And you go, how is that fair? Like, I'm sitting here having to pay a broker fee if I move to New York City and pay an extra $3,600 a year on a $2,000, which a $2,000 apartment in New York City isn't going to get you anything.
It's garbage.
Right?
unless you're living like 100 miles away from the city.
And I'm sitting here paying 20, 30% on what I'm making.
Sometimes even 40.
And this company that's making $13 billion in profit is paying 1%?
Is it because, I'm trying to wrap my mind around this here, that 1% is so large in comparison? It doesn't matter.
What does it matter?
But is that the reason why they're getting the tax breaks?
That the single mom who's got three kids is going to be sitting here paying 20, 30% tax rate.
That's something that she can barely already afford.
And she can't put food on the table.
Right.
And yet Amazon, because it makes a lot of money, only has to pay 1%. Like, it should be equal.
Yes.
Do you want to hear a horrible statistic that I heard yesterday?
Please.
So the top 1%, and this is more like the top 001% of America, in the last 15 years, their net worth has increased $21 trillion.
Wow.
The bottom 50% over the last 15 years has lost $900 billion. So it's like, when we talk about, like, you know, nobody wants to be taxed, but we all want good things like roads and schools and things like that. And we're all willing to pay our fair share. That's, I think, all anybody wants. Pay your fair share. Because billionaires don't need more money.
They literally don't need
any more
money.
No.
Kids need to eat. And you know what? The middle class, what most of us, everybody who's probably listening to this right now, you know, we are one sickness away from bankruptcy.
Who doesn't know somebody out there right now that's going through something like that? Because I do. You know somebody that gets sick.
You get cancer.
They get cancer and it just ruins. Even if they have had
good insurance,
yep. good everything throughout
even
the
just
years.
More simple
good
than
savings.
That. People just don't even not even going to the doctor because they
can't
don't
afford
have help.
It.
Yep. Nope.
Yep.
It's crazy, and that's what enrages I would say me when you go, why is Jeff Bezos the richest man in the world paying 1%? Yeah. And I'm paying close to 40.
Pretty cool. So, a 107-year-old man, maybe the oldest driver in America. So, this guy...
He's 107?
107, still on the roads. He says he's a great driver, and I like that he's got... They interviewed his 99-year-old fiance, Anita.
Cradle robber. What's he doing? Swooping in there.
He's got a fiance. He's like, baby... I would love if they had been engaged for like 75 years.
Could never commit.
Keeping his options open.
He said, Joe is his name from Sarasota, Florida, currently drives a bright red convertible and has been cruising the streets for 90 years.
Yes, he is a good driver.
Of course I'm a good driver. That's a silly question. Okay, let's go for a spin.
I closed my eyes most of the time.
We both agree that it'd be better if she sleeps while I drive.
Well, the secret to being 107 is simply keep breathing.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's Cage.
I just acquired two king cobras.
Or staged.
John is joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. John, I assume that you consider this a high honor to be able to play this game.
Yes, I do.
Nicolas Cage is the finest thespian of our time, and being able to dive into his life as well as his creative works, it's unbelievable. I mean, just for us to be able to air this sort of thing, I mean, it is a high honor. Not just for us, but I'm sure Intercom is a corporation.
We are not worthy.
We are speaking about a legend.
Indeed we are. So I've got some things about Nicolas Cage here that have either happened in his real life or they are the plot line from one of his movies. You're trying to figure out which is which. And if you're able to get three out of these five correct, you are going to win today, okay?
All right, awesome.
Fact number one about the great Nicolas Cage. He once spent an extended amount of time in Scotland in an attempt to finally locate the Loch Ness Monster. Is that Cage or Stage?
I would say that's Stage.
You know, you'd think.
Oh, no.
He went searching for the Loch Ness Monster. Yeah,
he's gone searching for everything.
Yeah,
for the Holy Grail, Loch Ness Monster, vampires, everything.
The Holy Grail?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Hasn't found any of it.
What are you going to be doing this weekend in London then?
Go off to Loch Ness and check out if I can find that monster. Because I'm going to hang out in Scotland until I find it. Now, I hear it's been quiet for 8 years, but I'll be there for 10 if it takes 10 to see it. So that's where I'll be if you want to get a hold of me. Loch Ness.
So I assume he saw the Loch Ness Monster. That's why he's back here in the States.
Of course, found it.
Found it.
Gave it a high five. They have an agreement not to talk about any of the private details of Lockie's life.
Mm-hmm.
Lockie. Nessie's old life. Yeah. Old Nessie.
Yeah, Lockie's Ryan Lochte. You remember?
Yeah.
Put him in that lake.
He is a monster.
Yes, he got eight. All right, so that's the first one off the board. Here we go on to the next one. As an up-and-coming painter, he fell in love with a married woman. Though they had an affair, she insisted on never leaving her husband. This angered him so much that he once destroyed an entire studio of his paintings and proceeded to pour black paint all over his body. Is that Cage or Stage?
Wow, that sounds like a plot of a movie.
Yeah, that one is a plot of a movie. Thankfully.
What movie was that?
That is the straight-to-video from 1991, Zandali.
When you held your breath, I thought you were about to say that it was real, and my jaw dropped.
It could have been. Here we go.
That's heavy.
He had straight-to-video movies back in 1991. There is no guarantee that when you put Nicolas Cage in a movie, it is going to be a hit. But I love that people keep going when they're imagining this role. They're like, who is the perfect guy to play this part?
You know, I feel like, you know, he won an Oscar for Best Actor for Leaving Las Vegas
in
1996.
Yes, he did.
Wow. And I feel like he got robbed and snubbed for that amazing performance in 91 in Zandali.
Zandali, yes.
I watched it last night. Actually, a pretty good movie. Very dramatic.
Did you watch the whole thing all the way through?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
All right, the next one here. Nicolas Cage believes that women find men with wooden hands to be very attractive.
Ow.
Is that Cage or Stage?
Cage.
Yes.
Very true. Why would a man with a wooden hand be attractive?
Let's
a
let Nicolas Cage
a
explain.
Pirate.
No, that's a wooden leg.
A wooden leg.
They have hooks, man. Get your pirate facts straight.
Girls like guys with wooden hands, and in Moonstruck I had a wooden hand, and that just, you know, really turned them on. They dig it for some reason. You should try it. Get yourself a wooden hand. Go out there, like Piccadilly Square or whatever. Check it out. You will not fail. It's the best line. One line, you'll get it.
Is he like? What is wrong with him?
You mean what is right with
exactly.
him?
Exactly.
And the answer is everything.
What is wrong with us that we can't get on that level?
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do I have to start talking slower and like weirder, like in order to be able to grasp this?
If you think about maybe like the things you could do with a wooden hand, you sand it down.
No, that sounds like I'm getting splinters. Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah. I don't
you
want pass. Splinters.
You want to set it on fire? You got a nice aroma in the room.
All right, so John, you can win it right here if you get this one correct. So you have two correct, only one
You'll
incorrect.
You always have a Woody hand, that is.
He had an elementary school teacher who gave the entire class a problem to solve, and he solved it, but incorrectly. And that was the moment he learned that he had a scientific mind. Is that Cage or Stage?
I'm going to go with Stage.
No. That is, once again, his real life.
Yes.
This is real life, folks.
All I can say is I remember Mr. Phipps, who was my science teacher in elementary school. I remember once he gave all the students a problem to solve. I solved the problem, but I solved it incorrectly. And because of that, he said that you have a scientific mind. that you actually came up with a solution. It's not right, but you came up with a solution. And that really meant a lot to me.
It's like a bootleg Goodwill Hunting.
It's just the worst.
We need a Goodwill Hunting too, or whatever was that Russell Crowe movie?
A Beautiful Mind.
A Beautiful Mind, too.
But like it's Nicolas Cage as a janitor, and he's in there on the whiteboard, but he's just solving everything wrong.
Sign me up.
I would for sure watch that.
Blockbuster.
All right, John, here we go. Final one here. You got to get this one right.
You got it, John.
He once went by the name Fu Manchu and helped to fight off a small army of Nazis. Is that Cage or Stage for the win?
I'm going to go with Stage.
You got it. Yeah.
Very nice.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
I wish that was true, though. That was from the 2007 film Grindhouse in the short film Werewolf Women from the SS.
Would you like to hear a small clip?
Sure.
Here we go.
I wanted Cinnabar. Cinnabar! To my liking! This is my bedtime!
And this has been another installment of Cage or Stage.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
So a man called police officers 25 times asking for help finding his hoodie. And now he has been charged with a felony.
If you can't call the police to find a lost hoodie, what can you call the police for? I thought this was America.
A Cincinnati man was arrested earlier this week after authorities say that he called the cops more than 25 times looking for that lost hoodie. Harv's Gardner, 32, faces a felony charge of disrupting public service.
Felony
charge. When the cops arrived, the defendant only wanted rides around town to find his hoodie that he had lost. Police say he was highly intoxicated, told officers that he should go back to bed, but he continued calling and gave different locations for the police to respond. He is being held at the Hamilton County Justice Center.
It's cold in Cincinnati right now. You gotta
need
find
that hoodie, right?
Have you ever lost a favorite piece of clothing before? It's just pure. It's devastating.
It's like losing a piece of you.
Yes. So I understand this guy and his frantic search.
Let me
for
introduce
his
you
hoodie.
To a guy who is full of good decisions. His name is Daryl Bailey, 43 years old.
Daryl.
He failed to stop for the police.
Okay.
Crashed into a fence.
Okay.
And then swallowed a bag of meth, all while trying to elude authorities.
Was this at the Chiefs rally yesterday or the other day?
The Chiefs parade was really something else. Did you see the guy with his butt out that fell out of the tree?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I did see the one guy who got tossed a ball from Patrick Mahomes and ran into a parking meter and tried to catch it.
Worth it.
Totally worth it.
Shout out to the KC police for pit maneuvering that dude and stopping him.
Bad ass pit.
Broke through that barrier.
Yeah, there was somebody who busted through a barrier. And, I mean, this is before 9 a.m. in Kansas City. And you're like, these cops are going to have none of this. And sure enough, they pit maneuver him. But the people on the side there, you can tell they'd seen some stuff, too. They're just like, I'm not getting up from my lawn chair that I brought.
This is
my spot on the parade line.
I got here last night.
It doesn't matter if there's a car raging out of control, being pit maneuvered by another police vehicle. No, I'm fine. But this particular guy, separate incident.
Okay.
He decided that he was not going to stop when the police tried to pull him over, and it's because he had a warrant out for his arrest. He got pit maneuvered and then almost got hit by a patrol car before he came to a halt, crashed through a fence into a shed, according to the sheriff's office. According to the police, the suspect had been fleeing from officers because he knew that he had warrants and because he had meth on him, which he then swallowed. This guy is just, again, full of good decisions. And you can tell by his mugshot because he's the guy that has a whole bunch of face tattoos.
Oh, yeah. No.
And they're rather distinctive, which I...
Don't judge a book by its cover, Dave.
Well, no, I'm judging it by all the facts in this report.
Yeah, you can judge a face by its face tattoos, though,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
you're so judgmental.
Whole bunch of face tattoos. If you're trying to not be noticed by the police and then run from the police, having a whole bunch of very recognizable face tattoos makes it exceedingly difficult.
Yeah. Buy a cardigan and get some glasses, and you will blend in. You will be invisible to the vast majority of the country.
That second day in jail is probably going to be so bad. Because that bag of meth that he swallowed is totally going to mess him up,
probably,
right?
They probably pumped his stomach. Which, can we stop pumping the stomachs of people who swallow meth? You made that choice. Now you're going to deal with it.
A Florida woman was none too pleased when her husband decided that he wanted a divorce. And so Pamela Carr, 69 years old, whipped out a taser and blasted him with it.
I'll get you, bitch.
Carr and her husband got into an argument Sunday morning after he told her that he wanted to end their marriage of 9 years. At some point, Carr pulled out a taser and stunned her husband several times at close range. And deputies say that Carr admitted to stunning her husband, but claimed it was in self-defense. She was taken to jail, ended up getting out on $1,000, ordered to stay away from her husband. She will be allowed to visit with a law enforcement escort to retrieve her belongings from their Serendipity mobile home community.
Oh, would you say that...
I know his name, Mobile Home Park, something like Serendipity. Like, you were meant to live here.
It's Serenity Ponds or Peaceful Meadows.
Calm Oasis.
Do you think that he was shocked by her reaction?
Oh, hell I get it.
I'll get you, bitch.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
The sweet sounds of a laundromat.
Dirty laundry.
Try to imagine this for a moment. Your job, and this is actually Ian's real job, is to go out to a random laundromat, find a random person that you've never met before that looks like they've seen some stuff, go up to them, strike up a conversation, and then try to get that person to reveal something that they've never told anyone before. That's what dirty laundry is.
That sounds like somebody looking for crack somewhere, to be honest with you. But now I'm looking for secrets. Yeah. So that's exactly what I do. And I went to my favorite bar laundromat this time around. Now, this particular gentleman, I have seen there many a times. He actually frequents the motel that is right next to the bar laundromat.
The one with all the working gals?
Yep, the working gals. The one that puts the syrup on the curb so you can't sit on it.
Can you pay for this motel by the hour?
Yes, you can.
Do you know what the hourly rate is?
I think it's like $29?
$29 for an hour.
$29, yeah.
I got that kind of money.
And it is a fancy place. I have been inside a couple of rooms. And if you're a fan of cockroaches, definitely your motel.
Big fan. Big
so
fan.
This particular gentleman, I would say he's around 40 years old. He is from Jamaica. And he is a performer, but he also loves to sing. That is how I got to know him originally. He gets way too hammered at the bar and just sings his heart out. And I got to talking with him. He was a little tipsy on this day here, so I offered him a beer. He wasn't doing any laundry in exchange for a secret. And he told me about an encounter he had with two women not too long ago from Utah.
Oh my.
Some weird about witches. I can tell you all crazy shit.
Dirty Laundry.
We're here for another installment of Dirty Laundry, and I've met a friend who I've actually met a handful of times, and today he is wearing a full camouflage outfit. I almost didn't see you at first. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm fine and dandy, man. I'm chilling like never before, you know what I mean? Everything is cool. In Israel, they call it Beseda Gamur. In Germany, they call it Todaraba. You know what I mean? No, I'm kidding. I'm lying.
I want to hear something you've never told anybody before. You got to have some crazy stories, man. You got to tell me something.
Hey, see, so this day I was hitting it from up south. I was coming north. I meet this chick, and then she wants some wish. She with another chick. They're all gorgeous, beautiful girls from Utah. So she bought some weed from me. And then I went back to try to do some more. Said I come back, she's still there. Hey, I can't roll. So I went to their room and roll it for her. So when I roll the joint, we hit it, and then we go to the pub. And then, for some reason, I start laughing about Utah. Utah is if you never been in Utah, Utah is so weird. So we went to this bar. We were drinking, and then they were pissed off about me laughing about Utah, but they didn't tell me. So we were kicking it. And then, for some reason, I say I never have Now they were laughing at me. Unbelievable. And we're chilling. We smoke some bad more. And then we go to their room. So in their room, I was kicking it with this tall chick, tall white chick. She was beautiful and all that. And then there is this other chick. I never talk about her because it drive me crazy. You know what I mean? So what we do is we all night. So when I wake up, this other chick was banging up everything and she was naked going to the bathroom and back. And then this other chick tell me, she's pissed off at you. Why? I say, why? Because you promised us. I'm like, we can't do it now. No, we are leaving in 2 hours. I'm like, I was tipsy, so I forgot about the other one. And the other one, she is super foul. She has like she got that booty. Ooh, man, I nearly shoot my own toes.
Oh, my God.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
He almost shot his own toes?
Yes. All right. In honor of that fine gentleman.
Oh, my gosh.
You said that guy smokes weed?
Yeah.
Jeez. I needed some subtitles.
It's Top Stories. Here's what's making news.
Little follow-up for you here. Good news for Wayne Newton. He has won that court battle over the stuff at Casa de Chalanova, and he is going to be able to keep a whole bunch of his stuff.
That's good news.
So you may not recall the original story. If not, it's a bunch of stuff that was in the house when he sold it, and the people that bought the house just went, no, everything that was in the house when we decided to buy it, that's all ours now. And he's like,
no,
that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works ever. So, no, the stuff that's in here, including a bunch of really historic memorabilia from different people over the years, that's still all my stuff. And they had to go to court over it. And there's a big battle back and forth. And the court said, no, you don't get all the stuff that is in someone's house when you decide to buy it. That's not how it works. So they've had to hand it back over. So that's
good
news.
Can't believe they were trying to pull that in the first place. That just seems losers. So crazy. And didn't he have like a pool cue from like the original like the Hustler movie with Paul Newman?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Something crazy like that.
All kinds of cool stuff. Yeah.
But I'm glad to see that. You know, like again, Wayne Newton is a treasure. Leave him alone, people.
Elvis Presley handwritten notes, the Kathleen Newton wedding dress, Newton's bronze baby shoes, a microphone given to him by Frank Sinatra, pool cue from Jackie Gleason, that's what you're thinking of, and a bunch of other stuff. So, a suburban Chicago man has portrayed himself as a heavyweight in the Las Vegas sports gambling scene, has pleaded guilty as of Wednesday to defrauding an investor out of millions of dollars. This guy, whose name is Robert Gordeski of Northbrook, pleaded guilty to federal counts of wire fraud and filing a false tax return. His plea agreement states that he faced up to 6 years in prison under federal sentencing guidelines. He's scheduled to be sentenced in April. So this guy, according to prosecutors, defrauded the victim, identified only as victim A, out of roughly $9.6 million between 2014 to 2017. The victim said that he gave money to this kid who's 27 years old, that it was going to be used to be bet on sports and invested in the stock market with the idea that it would bring all sorts of profits. During that time, he posted photos of himself on social media, hanging out with athletes and beautiful women. Of course, get the cool sports cars and all the Gucci and Prada and all the other nonsense that comes along with it. Well, of course, during that time, he was using all of this fake money and it was just a giant scheme.
Well, not fake money. It was somebody else's money.
Not his money, right?
Yeah.
Fake money for him, but it was somebody else's money, and he was acting like it was his, and he was this genius sports bettor. Let me tell you something. There are no genius sports bettors out there. They're like the whole like Vegas Dave, like all these clowns out there that act like they have the secret sauce and they're selling all these picks to people. It's all garbage.
Yep.
It's all nonsense. Don't ever buy into that stuff. If there was actually somebody who knew the secret way to win on sports, they would just be the richest person in the world.
Yeah, we would see Back to the Future 2. It'd be Biff
from
Biff. Back to the Future 2. Sports books would ban them.
No, I mean,
exactly
like,
what I was
the closest thing we ever got was like Billy Walters.
Right. Like, there's definitely sharp people. There's definitely people like who understand it. But a lot of the really sharp stuff comes with manipulating the lines, right? So what you do is you have a whole bunch of people bet on something, and then it brings it down to the point where you think is actually the strike point, and that's when you have the really big bet come in, right? And so there's manipulation of the market, just like there is in the stock market, but nobody really knows what's going to happen in any of these games. There's good handicappers out there, but as you know, I mean, the crapshoot that is sports betting and the line where it's set, there's very little difference between a sharp sports bettor and just a casual bettor who's going up to the window.
I mean, you have to be a lifelong pro.
Right.
You know, and those guys will tell you that it's still really hard to make money.
Of course it is.
So I don't know why we've heard so many of these stories over the last couple of years where these guys have these confidence scams where they've convinced these super rich people to give them money to go make them money. I just don't know why it keeps happening because they always end up like this.
Yes.
Some douchebag in a Ferrari that's not his trying to flex on Instagram.
So he burned through $2.2 million for travel and entertainment expenses, luxury automobiles, jewelry, all of those things. And on his 2015 income tax return, he stated that he had a total income of $10,520.
So go ahead. Hit him with the taxes too.
Yeah.
Oh, because
if you're gonna put Wesley Snipes in prison, your ass is going to
$10,000.
6 years seems light.
So what was he even? So what was he also like getting government aid? Like how do you even?
Well, that's the
thing. How do you even get a home? How do you even get a place to live?
You're paying for cash.
Yeah,
cash.
He's not gonna, you know.
Can you pay cash for rental properties or homes?
He's not going to claim all the money that he bilked out of this guy, you know, which is just unbelievable that it went on for this long. And somebody that had that much money to begin with was that stupid.
Yeah, how do you get that much money when you are that gullible?
Yeah, ridiculous.
I want to be. Like, how do I sign up for that? Do I just give this other guy money?
Just give him money.
He'll bet it for me?
Yeah, he'll double it. Easy.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
There's sharp guys out there.
Yeah.
Take advice, but there's nobody that is going to time after time after time after time keep doubling your money. And if anyone's trying to sell you picks, they are a scam artist.
They're making their money off of you, not actually betting.
That Vegas Dave guy just got busted for that on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he did.
He was sending out picks for both sides to half of the people that are his subscribers.
Wow.
Yeah. Kansas City's going to win. Oh, the 49ers are going to win. Dupe half the people.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Who the hell invented Windows? Like, kudos to that person. Like, one day they were probably like, oh, it's a nice day, let's make a hole here. And then, boom, you have a window. Dude's a hero.
Message deleted.
Who invented glass?
Wow!
Lightning.
Whoa!
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, lightning striking sand.
Sand. Yep.
Yeah.
And the people were just like, "Let's just continue to do this.
Let's do that again. That was awesome.
That was cool.
Like, what if no one was around for that? And you know, we just didn't have glass.
We would have figured it out.
Right place, right time for glass. Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. We really lucked out on that one.
Because glass is awesome.
Love it.
Do you like or dislike Windows?
Like Windows.
Windows are great.
I feel like my house could go with like 75% less Windows.
Oh, I want more.
I like
my
more.
House
yeah, I want
is
more
like
Windows.
My house is full of Windows, and that's by choice. Like, there's a couple of houses that we went and looked at when we were buying that I really liked, and my wife's like, not enough Windows. Like, she wants Windows everywhere.
Same. There's something about natural light that just makes you feel better.
No.
Like, my house, my downstairs almost feels like a basement.
Because
it's got like it's like straight dungeon.
I wish my house had a basement.
Yeah, I mean like
that would be my lair.
That's the only place where guys are allowed to like hang up sports jerseys and you know like be dudes and leave beer cans laying around.
Going in 60 seconds poster up on the wall.
Hell yeah, yeah. Nicholas. Yeah, wait for it. Let's ride. You guys would come over.
But like, what is it about like super rich people too? You ever notice this? Like, you ever drive through like a super rich neighborhood? And you drive through there, and none of them have, like, any sort of window treatments.
Yeah, they're just
it's
like...
It's just all open, and you just see straight into the house. I'm like, that's creepy as hell.
Did you see the Jeff Bezos mansion that he had in, I think it was Los Angeles? But they were looking at this house. I don't know if they ever bought it, him and that Lauren Sanchez chick. But it had this shower that was basically just a glass shower. It was totally exposed...
To the neighborhood?
It was to the woods in the back.
But, oh, I love that. Because you can't see.
What if somebody's in the woods?
I don't want an owl peeping in on me taking a shower.
You love that?
No, I think that I would. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Like, nah. I mean, no, because, no. I mean, if it's secluded, you know.
Nothing's ever secluded enough.
Do they not have, like, people protecting their home? It's Jeff Bezos. He's a billionaire.
But what about the people protecting the home?
Yeah, they're watching you shower.
Sometimes you want your bodyguards to watch you be butt naked? I don't want a bear seeing me bare naked.
I guess when you just get to a certain point of being that rich, you don't care. You're like, yeah, you can see me naked if that really does it
but
for you.
Why is that?
Because
like,
you don't care.
Be worried
You're
about.
Like, yes, I'm on display because I'm beautiful and perfect.
I feel like there would just be so much more privacy than what we're really thinking about.
Yeah.
Like if you were, say, you were in the woods, like you have, you know that picture of the house that's in the mountains and there's nothing else around it, and like the sea and the ocean, and they're a million miles
off.
Okay,
let's say that you lived in that house. Would you would just walk around the house naked all the time?
I do it in my house that's 30 minutes away.
See, I never just walk around naked.
If I'm alone, really? Occasionally,
never.
Never?
I feel weird walking.
Why would I
naked?
Walk around totally naked?
Yeah.
What's the point?
You're vulnerable.
Well, yeah, if you forgot a towel,
who forgets a towel?
Need a snack?
Where, why was I naked from wherever I started from?
I don't know.
Did I get right out of the shower with no towel and go, I need a protein bar?
I still get embarrassed. When I'm even by myself, I'm looking at myself, I get embarrassed. So yeah. I have to put something
Well, that's why you got to get less
reflective
less
services.
You're in your home. It's like totally comfortable. I'm so baffled by this.
If you fall, well,
not
like
at all.
As a guy, if you fall and you're naked, right?
Yeah.
Think of the road rash.
Oh, yeah.
On that ass.
Road ass.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Yo, Ian, I saw a picture of your cat. Man, they're ugly. These cats don't even look like good cats. How about you give them away? You know, if your girlfriend is anything like your choice in cats, ooh-wee.
What?
Man, you're setting yourself up for an ugly life, my friend. Wait, you're definitely not my friend.
Oh,
wow.
My gosh.
Way to sound like
so
my stepdad,
mad.
Bro.
First of all, his cats are beautiful. One is being nominated for Miss America as we speak. She is a beauty queen.
She is, and she's
and then
also
the other one
a service animal.
Is really sweet, too. He's great. He's a little black cat. Don't you judge. And your girlfriend's beautiful.
You know what? You can talk all you want about my girlfriend. That is fine. The minute my cat's name's pop in your mouth, we're done.
You could have just left that part out. You know that?
I have pictures
with
your cats.
Stuff.
Wow.
You're doing it wrong, man.
No, I'm not.
She listens to the show,
no,
man.
It's fine. Who cares?
It's not fine. You take that back. She is beautiful. The cats are beautiful.
That's my entire family
that
this guy's talking about.
That guy's right. You suck, Ian.
Glitz. Glamour. Fame. Scandal. Weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So Larry King has opened up about his divorce. Said after 22 years that him and Sean King, his wife, decided that it was time to split, and it's because of religious differences.
Interesting.
Yeah, she I guess is a devout Mormon. I didn't know that, but they also had a big age gap as well. He said that contributed, 26-year age gap. But he said that they decided that their relationship was not something that would work after all those years of marriage. 22 years they were together.
Okay, so one of two things. If they were married for 22 years and she was Mormon, did he not convert and just had her be a Mormon the entire time? And he just didn't know you're going into this relationship that...
Yeah, I mean, you'd think that...
She was a Mormon, and those things kind of tend to come up whenever you first start dating, no?
So in 2010, they almost divorced, but then got back together. Followed a report of a rehab stint for her. She had reportedly an addiction to painkillers. She also believed to avoid alcohol in line with her religion, but there were stories that since the split, she'd been trying to interfere with the inheritance for two adult sons, and King also has a son with his first wife and two children with his third, so... King and Southwick both faced rumors of infidelity, but both denied it. So who knows? It just seems like it's very, very complicated. You know, and any time you mix religion.
That's such a cop out.
Pain pills and alimony. It's a lot.
He did not look good in Super Bowl commercial either.
No.
Like.
No.
I was wondering why he was sitting in a chair the entire time. Like,
well, he's always sitting in a chair. Can we just have some real talk, though? It wasn't religion. He's just sick of her. She's sick of him. Call it a day.
Yeah, let's
say. That's not because 26 years later you're concerned about their religion. Like if you just converted to something like here's the thing. Like if somebody was doing this before you got together with them and you were okay with it, then
if you were okay with it for 26 years or 22 years, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Jeff Probst from Survivor fame, of course. I still like Survivor.
He's the host.
Yeah, he's the host. Yeah. He revealed that he has been suffering from temporary amnesia. And it left him briefly with absolutely no memory, he said. So he sat down. He was doing an appearance on Live with Kelly and Ryan. He was talking about he's 58 years old now. He said that he struggled to remember what day it was, where his wife and kids were, what he was doing at his house.
Is this early onset dementia?
So it's not necessarily early onset dementia, but it could be a sign of that.
Wow.
And that's what they're worried about. Doctors told him he had suffered from a rare phenomenon called transient global amnesia, during which sufferers temporarily become disoriented and they can't form any new memories.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's devastating.
Struggled with this for a long time now. And I mean, it's terrifying. If all of a sudden you can't remember like who you are, who you're married to, what you're doing at your house.
Not even 60 years old.
Yeah, 58 years old and really sharp guy. So Pretty spooky stuff for Jeff Probst.
You remember, I don't know if you are aware of this, but like Frankie Muniz has kind of a more severe case of that, of memory loss. He does not remember anything, like even during his time, during Malcolm in the Middle and any of the time that like he was becoming famous and becoming Frankie Muniz, like he has just completely forgotten about it.
No way.
That sucks because that's probably like
a pretty important thing to know. But
kind of the highlight, you know?
Oh my gosh.
All those years when you were a star, now you're just...
Isn't it so ironic? His job is to remember lines and he can't remember that, like, memories from whenever he was remembering lines.
It's just the worst when you lose something that like is so tied into like what you do. Like we have
who
a
you
friend,
are, your identity.
Well, we've got a friend who's a voice actor and he lost his voice.
Yeah.
Like and that's what his livelihood like.
Really successful voice actor. Yeah,
not,
too.
Like, I kind of do some stuff, but like on every like all
McDonald's commercials and all kinds of
national
stuff.
Spots all over the place, made a great living and can't talk anymore. It's crazy.
Insane. So Jessica Simpson is really trying to sell books, and the latest revelation is that she turned down The Notebook.
I don't believe it.
If this is true, I'm glad, because she would have ruined The Notebook.
Yeah, she would have.
But the reason she says that she turned it down is because the intimate scenes in the movies. So, of course, in 2004, Rachel McAdams ended up playing that role, and she was fantastic in it. But she said that Tony Romo didn't want her doing when they were together.
So she's going to blame it on Romo?
Yeah.
She said that she doesn't want – he didn't want her doing anything intimate on the screen or off the screen, obviously. But she also cops to having an emotional affair with Johnny Knoxville on the set of Dukes of Hazzard while she was still married to Nick Lachey.
Which also came out in 2004, the same time as The Notebook.
Speaking of The Notebook.
So what?
So it's not going to be easy. It's going to be really hard. And we're going to have to work at this every day, but I want to do that because I want you. I want all of you forever, you and me, every day.
Can you imagine if that was Jessica Simpson?
What's chicken to the sea?
Oh, my gosh.
That would have made that scene.
But she also recently outed her dad, talking about how he basically broke things off with her mom and told her that, hey, I'm bringing this male model to your wedding in 2 weeks. I mean, like, she is revealing all kinds of stuff. Everything. Like, why would you do all of this just to sell books?
Well, it's kind of weird, though, because she's not really answering some of the questions that we were really concerned about, like with a lot of like Jessica Simpson's parents and like how they all shoved them into the, you know, the spotlight as like young pop stars. Yeah. And like answer those questions, like what it was like to have your dad as a manager. Don't out him in his sexuality, please. That's not what we really care about. We want to know why you were sitting there being like a possible.
We all know he's gay, right?
I mean, whatever.
Isn't that obvious? Like a long time ago.
Yeah, that's not what we care about.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. Talk about your business, not other people's business.
It just, can you, I still call shenanigans. There's zero chance that there's any casting director in their right mind who would think of putting Jessica Simpson into The Notebook, who's with the serious subject matter of The Notebook. And you were showing more ass in The Dukes of Hazzard than there was in The Notebook, too.
This is the lie that you tell yourself when you go to an audition and bomb it and then go, you know what, I don't want it when you don't get the part.
No, thank you.
That's exactly what it is.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
They're all like, we didn't make you an offer. What are you talking about? But oh yeah, sorry to see you go. It's too bad that
Employee
of the Month with your morals.
Was really good though.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Who is your work nemesis? Many times, at least for me, throughout my career, I've never had a work nemesis by my choosing. It's always somebody who picks a fight with me. And in which case I'm like, oh, okay then. There was a guy who I used to work with that was mad that I got a promotion. It was when I worked at a radio station. It was back in South Carolina, and I got along really well with the program director, and I'm sure she thought I was good looking. I mean, obviously. Sure
we can ask her.
Don't do that. I'm sure that wasn't it at all. But no, I was a very, very hard worker, very eager, everything else, you know, super excited about the opportunity, loved the radio station, and so nothing felt like work. And I got the opportunity to be the music director at the time, which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, of course.
And there was another guy that worked at the radio station, and I remember telling him, like, hey, I'm so excited. I just got the title of music director, and I just remember this look came over his face.
Had it been him? Well, wow, words. It didn't even process. Had he been there longer than you?
He had more experience than me, but he had not been there longer than me.
Okay.
So he came in after I did, but he was one of those guys who's like, I've been in the business for 20 years. I know everything. You're like, okay.
Okay, settle down.
We're still in the same building doing this exact same job, buddy. So long story short, he would intentionally, any time that something that I had done wasn't exactly right, go dime me out. And so again, like I'm still new at this. I'm still learning. And I felt like I was pretty good at which
there's a learning curve,
which I was. Yeah. But I mean, like with any job, you're doing something new. There's going to be a little bit of learning curve. He would always go dime me out. So that way I would lose a position and he thought he would be able to get it. He actually just got out of jail because he shot someone.
Oh,
so
no
yeah,
way.
Things are.
Dodged a bullet there, Dave.
Literally dodged a bullet. Yeah. Wow.
Anger issues.
Your boss? See, I feel like if somebody's coming and tattling to me, I'm never going to.
You would never say that's the person that should be in this position of power.
Never.
It always seems like they're always just trying to like coerce the situation, right? So it's always just
always
like
trying to manipulate it for
it
themselves.
On your side. I had somebody who always, we were mentioning this yesterday, whenever I was working in the service industry, there was always a rule. You don't ever take someone's table because when you take someone's table, you're taking their potential money, right? And we always had, there was never a system. It was just like going back and forth kind of thing because during rush, you don't really have the opportunity to be like, oh, is it your turn or is it my turn?
Yeah.
This girl would take like four tables at a time.
Oh,
and
no,
it would just turn into pure chaos because then it would be like,
there's
okay, well, if you're
going to
do
man.
That,
yeah.
then guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Tit for tat. We're going to go back and forth. And then it just turned into just like, I mean, seriously, like the battlefield.
And there's something about the service industry, right?
Oh,
because
yeah.
when things start to go downhill, they go downhill fast because mm-hmm. people can go get another very similar job literally right across the street,
yep.
right? Like if you're a good bartender or server,
you can go somewhere else.
There's plenty of demand for you
absolutely.
Literally starting the next day. And so the idea of having somebody do you wrong,
right.
you don't care if you get fired.
Well, and it's
you're willing to burn it down.
It's such a everybody helps everybody kind of atmosphere so that if you're sinking, somebody will help you. Like, you know, swim a little bit. So it's like, I'm not going to help you run your food. I'm not going to help you whenever you're, you know, you need somebody to refill their drinks. Like, none of that.
Was she
so if you're drowning, you're drowning.
Was she behind the bar with you, though, as bartenders?
No.
Or
so,
she was like a server?
So this was actually before I started bartending. We had one of those places where you had to, like, climb the ladder in order to be the bartender.
Okay.
Most of the times, the bartenders had been there for years, and you kind of had to, you know, show
work
that
your,
you were able to work under fire.
You're showing up.
Yeah, exactly. And no, she never became a bartender, but I mean.
What's she doing now?
I think that she makes YouTube videos of her like singing because she lives like.
Oh, please.
Can we pull these up?
Yeah,
please, let's pull some up. Oh, God.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
No, seriously, please tell me you're looking for
her
right
now.
Oh, God,
to,
I cannot wait.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Your work nemesis. Who is that individual and why? This one, I had a coworker who would flirt with everyone. And I want to say, like, everyone, including girls that had just turned 18.
Oh, no.
I got so tired of it, and nobody cared. So one day, me and my friends saw that he was doing something totally inappropriate, went to HR, and they finally took care of the problem. He really thought he was hot stuff and would go around just creeping on everyone. So all of the girls in the office would cringe when he would walk up.
Have you ever been in a workplace like that? Besides
this one right here?
No. I actually, very thankfully, in the workplace. Now, our jobs put us in like scenarios where we're working with other people and for other companies and stuff. It's happened to me where I've actually gotten like my butt like whoppa smacked by somebody whenever I was working for them at an event. But other than that, and I actually like had to like play it off like it wasn't like any big deal.
Really?
Yeah.
Dirty.
I figured you would shank him.
No, well, because I was actually, I mean, I was
were you like
maybe,
18, 19?
I was like maybe 20.
Ugh, that's, you know, going back to the restaurant world, because we've all been there, and the guy who was always, the old dude, always, every restaurant has this.
Oh, the creepy regulars.
Well, no, not even that. There's those. But at least they tip, some of those tip well.
They do.
But I'm saying the creepy dude at work.
Don't act like you didn't flirt with the creepy regulars to get big tips.
No, you know what? Sometimes, but
the creepy dude
who was always hitting on the hosts.
Oh,
he's
the
like
host.
32 years old, and they are 17.
Yep. Oh. And he's out there inviting them to the party after work.
Yeah, like, no, they are don't bring that around. Like, even if there's a house party afterwards, like, don't bring the
17-year-olds around, man. No. That's how everyone goes to jail.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Can we talk about why regulars always want to change the TVs?
Well, I mean,
no. Go if you want to watch a specific channel on
if I'm a regular and I'm tipping well.
But you ain't tipping well. You just come there every day.
Oh, well, that's but are they nice? Different. Are they
nice? No. They're not nice. Well, you want to change what everybody else is already watching. It's just chaos.
Like what were you watching in your bar?
Well, so we always had like this one section of the bar that was our sports bar. So it would just be all different, like, you know, sports channels. But they specifically wanted to watch horse racing so they could bet on the ponies. And it was like,
that's totally acceptable. What are you talking about?
You were out of line for that.
But whenever you're not tipping and you're mean and you're there every day, no, I guess it's probably just because we hated them.
Yeah, I mean, when you decide that somebody is annoying, everything they do
is annoying.
Yeah.
Go home and watch your ponies.
Steve said, I wouldn't say nemesis, but I do have my round one and round two picks for the Office Fight Club. No reason behind my picks. Never even spoken a word to either of them, but ready to get savage and kick their asses if necessary.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
They have no idea.
He's got a stupid face, man. He's got a punchable face.
Some people have a punchable face.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
So Audrey had this former work nemesis that we were talking about, and she's like a singer, and she posts all these clips on social media of her singing and everything else, and we're like, oh, I bet she's awful like everyone else that does this, and it turns out she's actually pretty good. You want to hear a little bit?
Let's hear it.
All right. A little pitchy, right?
It's not that bad.
This girl is on fire.
Am I the evil one? Am I the one that's mean?
I mean, better than us, but
yeah. I mean, just because she can sing doesn't mean
slightly
that she's
better than us.
A good person.
You're not going through to Hollywood, and also you're not that good of a singer. This one,
that's a no for me, dog.
Yeah. We got this one is crazy. Said I had a coworker who went through my backpack and found my journal. My doctor recommended that I write it. I was severely depressed and dealing with suicidal thoughts. Whoa. She copied it and gave select pages to people in my office.
What?
When I left, they were rude to me, even calling my next position, telling them that I was a suicide threat, which I wasn't at that point, but she was terrible, and I'm so glad to have left that job. You should sue. Like, we are not legit people, but that...
I've never sued anyone in my life. I would sue them to the end of the world and back.
Oh,
individually,
gosh.
I would sue the company. I would sue my direct supervisor. Everyone
involved. Wow.
I would sue the cleaning people. I would sue the guy who cuts grass.
Show on X107.5.
Why are the gardeners just trying to make...
He's involved.
Doesn't matter. You
He's
were there.
Involved.
You didn't stop it. Could have sprayed him with that
That's
hose.
That's crazy, though.
Your uncle, your cousin, your baby mama.
Sued
everybody.
Everybody
go get paid. You deserve it.
That is dirty. Whew. If that didn't work, just kick their ass.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Whew, boy, hearing some good ones today about the old work nemesis. How about this? Living in the Midwest, don't want to say what state. Okay. Any of them, sure. Because it was a family business, and we sold and fixed boats on the lake.
Okay.
Okay.
So me, my sister, my mom, my dad, one uncle, and three other random people all worked at the shop. So, you know.
Family business.
Family business. Hired this guy for the summer. Ended up sleeping with my sister. Everyone knew about it. And they were afraid to fire him because of what might happen to the business as a result of that.
Oh, no.
Eventually, it came to blows and ended up kicking his ass near a pontoon.
Oh, wow. Well, I think if you were worried about the sleeping part of it, imagine how it probably turned out if you beat him up.
Yeah, assault. Right? I mean, so.
I like me a pontoon fight, though. Yes.
Like, how old is the sister? Like, I mean, there's a lot of questions there, I guess.
Oh,
pummeling? Ooh! Is that what we're talking about? Here's one on our text line at 7310. Oh, man, it just went away. Hold on. I love our texting system, by the way. 7310.
Here, I got one for you. Worked at a cell phone store. Guy came in from another city thinking that he was hot S until he realized that I had all the regular customers. He kept trying to get me fired until I actually gave up with fighting with him and management. He thought he would get all of my customers until they all realized that I was no longer there and they just kind of, you know, went other places.
Yeah.
Soon after I quit, the store closed and he had to go back to his crap hole hometown with his tail between his legs.
Wow. Oh.
Vindication.
This one calls this guy out by his first and last name, Alex Blank. The dude thinks he's high on the horse and always puckering his lips for the boss. He feels need to crack the whip if he doesn't get his way and runs to the bosses and whines. Also, don't lean back in your chair because he's always watching. Like, if you're a chair monitor, back.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I am an adult. I could, if I'm going to fall and bust my ass leaning back on a chair, that is on me. I don't need you to tell me not to lean back in my chair.
Melissa said, I was a few weeks into a new job. The person training me was a smoker. One morning, I was on my own with her as my shadow, and I had a question, but she was nowhere to be found. So I went to the manager, who I actually knew from a previous job, and just asked her for some help and told her that I couldn't find my trainer. Well, my trainer took that as me snitching on her. Needless to say, she was as mean as could be to me after that. Before, we would go to lunch, and then after that, if we walked in and she was eating lunch, she would literally get up and change tables to avoid me.
Whoa, that's
talk about
petty.
Some high school stuff.
Yeah.
I would just find that funny. Right?
Like moving tables?
If somebody got up and moved it, I would just like.
Whatever, loser.
Son of a. Love it. Mother. It's bleeped. Bull.
Jeremy joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. What's up, Jeremy? How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. So it's a simple question for you. Do you have a dirty mind?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Nothing that's being said in any of these clips is dirty in any way. We just strategically place some bleeps, and that can be a little bit distracting, okay? So I'm going to play you a total of three. If you get two out of the three, you win today. And each clip I'm going to play, and then I'm going to give you a multiple choice of what it could be, and then I'm happy to play the clip for you one more time if you want to hear it before you make your guess, okay?
Sweet. Appreciate it.
So this is the first one. Mahoney. And you're trying to figure out what he is talking about.
There's a thermometer that you just stick straight into your... Like, the thing about me, if it's harder for me to myself, I'm going to just call somebody. What always happens with me, I end up way too much, and it's always dry.
Dry.
And,
yep.
And I don't want... don't remember that conversation. It
okay,
seems,
so...
Like edited audio.
That's Mahoney, and what is he talking about? A, getting sick... B, his new expensive oven, or C, working out. Would you like to hear it one more time? Yeah.
Getting sick, A.
Oh, okay. A, getting sick.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. His new expensive oven.
Yeah, actually, that is correct.
Wow.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Good save.
Yeah.
You were talking about chicken breast getting dry whenever you cook them in there.
That's true, yes.
And
the thermometer prevents that.
Wait, you really didn't drama. Remember what that was?
I don't remember. I was like, I thought that would have been sick. I was like, was I sick recently?
Do you really take a thermometer and stick it somewhere? When
yeah, I've got dry. The one that friction, you put on your temple.
Yeah, you just
or your
do
ear.
The exergen thing now or whatever.
Yeah. Temporal scanner.
All right, so Jeremy, you have 1 point. You can actually win it if you get this next one correct, okay?
All right, let's do it.
All right, good luck to you. This is a local report about a man and a woman, and you're trying to figure out what happened. Let's have a listen.
When we have people come out and them three times a week, within a month, they are generally totally ready. They're rolling over for rubs. They're you when you go in. And then that's when we can move them out of the area and move to others in who need.
All right. So that man was a sanctuary owner, and you're trying to figure out what he wants people to do. Was it A, adopt cows, B, cuddle pigs, or C, stop eating meat? Do you want to hear it one more time?
Yeah, one more time.
Okay. So again, sanctuary owner. And you're trying to figure out what he wants people to do.
When we have people come out and them three times a week, within a month, they are generally totally ready. They're rolling over for rubs. They're you when you go in. And then that's when we can move them out of the area and move to others in who need.
It's my kind of party.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Rolling over for
he wants
ribs.
People to adopt cows, cuddle pigs, or stop eating meat.
Gonna say stop eating meat?
You know, you'd think maybe stop eating meat would be correct. No, it's actually cuddling pigs.
You could hear them in the background.
You can hear the pigs in the background there.
Snorters.
Yeah,
a
little, so cute little piggies. Yeah, so that one unfortunately is incorrect.
Which
but
give you a blank rub.
What?
We got one more.
We do have one more, and you can win it right here if you get this right.
I did just start following the best.
Best account ever.
Best account ever. It's called.
It's a pig account.
Cutest
on Instagram.
Pigs.
And it is.
It's going to mess you up, man. You're not going to be able to eat bacon anymore.
And that's fine.
Audrey and I both said, we're done.
You're done with bacon?
We're done.
I mean, after seeing these pigs, I don't know.
No. They're the cutest dot pigs on Instagram.
I have not eaten one pig
since
this account.
I want to bring some bacon in.
It has been
morning.
3 days.
3 days strong.
Bacon's pretty delicious.
Yeah, okay, sure. Shut your mouth.
There's something cute. All right, final one here. This is a local report about a man and a woman. You're trying to figure out what happened, okay?
It's huge. You know, you see this, but you would never think it would. I was shaking, and it was really unbelievable.
I don't know what it was. There was a feeling that this was amazing, and that's why. She was just so outstanding. I said, this is the 2020 challenge. Absolutely. Who's making the next move?
Whoops. Is that what's going viral right now?
Yes.
Right. So was this
the 2020 bleep challenge?
What happened? Did they fall in love? Did they find out that they were related, or he left her a massive tip?
Oh, man. Let's go. Is it they fell in love?
You sure about that? Sure about that?
Did he leave her a tip?
Yeah.
Hey. Hey. Ew. Mother's gonna ever keep you
down. You're the best. Yeah, so he left her a massive tip. I believe to the tune of what, $5,000 or
yes.
something like that? Yeah, so
oh,
one more time, let's have a listen, knowing that it's a tip that they're talking about.
It's huge. You know, you see this, but you would never think it would. I was shaking, and it was really unbelievable.
I don't know what it was. There was a feeling that this was amazing, and that's why. She was just so outstanding. I said, this is the 2020 challenge. Absolutely. Who's making the next move?
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
I don't know why I have such a hatred for junk mail, but I do. Like, you know when they send you the daily deals or whatever in the mail?
Like and actual mail, not emails.
Not emails are annoying too, don't get me wrong. But the actual physical mail, it just feels like such a waste to me. Like, I'm never going, oh, look at all of these deals on produce at my local grocery store. Let me zip on over there quickly.
Coupons.
I know some people
hate it.
But I never, I haven't used one of those.
And almost nothing tilts me more than the random humongous phone book that shows up on my front doorstep.
It's always random. Why is it so
stop
random?
Stop that. Don't do that.
Usually in the middle of the driveway.
When's the last time that, they just sling them everywhere.
Yeah.
It junks up the neighborhood. When's the last time, honestly, that you used a phone book for anything?
Wow. Never.
Really?
Like, literally.
It's been years.
Not in the last 20 years.
I used one the other day to remember what a phone book was. That's about it.
You're getting nostalgic?
Yeah. I was like, oh, look at this.
Again, if you're trying to, if you're firing off live rounds and you're trying to find something that'll stop it, right?
Yeah.
That's about as good as a use of a phone book that you'll get. Yeah.
Direct mailers as well. Like, I never get something in the mail as advertising and I go, ooh, I'm going to do this. Doesn't work for me. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes whenever station casinos send me some stuff, I always pop through that little book. I'm like, oh, what?
If you get,
well, you're like, oh, this will justify my problem gambling.
A half of brunch, sure.
Or the bet five, get five or something, maybe.
Yeah, open those up from time to time.
A man from Twinsburg, Ohio was expected to receive a letter in the mail, and instead he went to the post office to find 79 bins, to be exact, each containing roughly 700 copies of the same letter addressed to him. 55,000 copies in total. This company, something went wrong in their automation system. They sent this guy 55,000 letters.
Do they just
back exactly the same?
Back the mail truck up to it at this point and just drop them on his driveway?
It basically cost $11,000 for this company to mail all 55,000 letters because it's between 18 and 20 cents a letter, even at bulk.
Yeah.
And so, $11,000 just blown.
D and I were shocked. We were like, are you kidding me? Who makes that kind of mistake? I may just start a bonfire and burn it all. I just hope it doesn't happen again. You know, I might have to return to sender.
Oh, good one.
Oh.
Awesome.
What do you, can you even put 55,000 letters into your recycling?
That's what I was wondering.
Do you got to open them all up?
Spilling everywhere. But the picture, though, if I'm remembering correctly, it almost looked like all of them were like saran wrapped together. Like it looked like they were like in a bin.
like a brick of cocaine.
Yes.
Except for it's all a bill.
So researchers have just proven, according to them, that babies may become kind from basically the moment that they're born.
Hmm.
So if you're a roaring a-hole, it may not be your parents' fault after all. It's just you.
We're born that way?
Researchers studied about 119-month-old infants and discovered that babies were quick to share their food with researchers even when they themselves were undoubtedly hungry.
Oh.
The study's authors, a group of researchers from the University of Washington Learning and Brain Science Division Lab, found that they are effective in proving that altruistic behavior begins in infancy. Furthermore, they believe that their work suggests social experiences very early in one's life can help shape their behavior towards others later on in adolescence and adulthood. For this study, fruits were used, blueberries, bananas, and grapes, and each infant was placed in a room with an adult researcher they'd never met before. Sitting across the table from them, kindness towards others at one's own expense is a uniquely human trait. So if you think about it, animals never do that, right? If like an animal's hungry, they're going to eat, even if there's other animals around. So being kind to others, even when you're uncomfortable, is something that only humans do. A lot of primates have displayed different kinds of being, you know,
generous,
like if it's their offspring or something like that. But still, mama's needs come
first.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's known in babies. Like, so it's just instinctive.
It's instinctive for us to be nice.
That's crazy. Wow.
And so if you think about that, there's really no excuse such a wanker as an adult, because it's actually hardwired into us to be kind. It's not something that you learn along the way. It's just natural to be nice to other people, even when it's inconvenient for you, which is a really sweet and kind of depressing study.
I'm going to, and if you want to be cheered up, I'm going to tweet it out right now, at David Mahoney. I saw a video today, Dave, of a baby hearing for the first time.
Oh, my God.
And,
crush me.
And, oh,
I mean, there's certain types of videos.
I'm already crying.
The kids seeing for the first time, their mom, because they get, you know, special glasses put on, hearing for the first time.
Yeah.
The military mom or dad coming home and surprising the kid while they're at school or something. You're just like,
yeah.
It is up. It is up on our Twitter right now. It's awfully dusty up in here.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the David Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So last night, I told myself that getting gas in the morning would be a better idea, and it wasn't, because I accidentally put diesel fuel in my 04 Honda. So now I'm scared to start my car.
Message deleted.
Oh, that sucks.
Okay, so I'm no mechanic, but that's really bad, right?
Yeah. I don't even know if it'll start. If it does start, it'll probably explode. It's going to explode.
It's got the green handle.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
you got to really.
They make it really obvious for you. Like, they set it apart from all the other ones, and it's a different color handle, the whole thing. Because, again, I think it's really bad.
But you've been that tired before, right?
No. Never that tired.
See, I've just been so tired that I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to get it tonight. The next morning comes.
Oh.
I'm just not going to get it this morning either.
No, for sure. I mean, everyone kicks the can down the road on the whole gas thing.
Uh-huh.
And then it always happens where you absolutely cannot. And that's when you are in the biggest rush.
Yep.
Yeah.
You definitely do not have time. So what happens?
So according to the Googles, gasoline engines cannot combust diesel fuel, so the car would stop running. Once that happens, it has to be towed to a shop and the fuel system needs to be drained.
Oh, no. So that guy just did not make it to work
today. It's like getting your stomach pumped. Just got to clean it all out.
What a nightmare.
Poor dude.
Don't make that mistake.
Don't drive that tire either.
After the tone.
Seriously.
I love asking this question because there are so many options, but when you think about it, what is the worst television show on right now? I mean, seriously, I'd say about 90% of TV now is complete garbage. So take your pick.
Message deleted.
So I've always thought that the shows that are so obviously fake that some people buy into are ridiculous, like that fake towing show.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, there's not a reality show where a tow truck driver goes around and tries to repossess cars, and then when the person comes out, they roundhouse kick them to the face.
Right.
They throw them off a parking garage.
That just does not happen. It's impossible. But people are like, no, it's real. It's definitely real. So I think that's garbage. But the thing that tilts me is when I really like a show, and then it gets really bad. So there's a show on Hulu called The Path. It's got the guy who played Jesse Pinkman, Aaron Paul.
Yeah, okay, he's great.
And he's the lead in it. And like the first two seasons were pretty good. And then it's hit the third season.
It's just nuts.
It's terrible. And I know that they canceled it. And so they kind of rushed the ending as well. But it just hit this third season. And I don't know if like some like the head writer left or whatever, but like it had like this cool kind of mystery suspense. Same thing with Lost back in the day. I hate it when great shows go to crap.
Bad.
Drives me crazy.
Can you even be considered a great show if you end crappy?
Well, what about
like Game of Thrones? Like, is that considered a great show anymore? I don't think so. Dexter. Like, I mean, Dexter had the best four seasons.
Should have ended it with the Trinity Killer. That would have been like, one of the greatest shows of all time.
Watch it to that, and then it's done.
Yep.
But what about shows that are so crappy you love them?
Like what?
Like, I am obsessed with 90 Day Fiancé.
I know so many.
Straight crap, but I am so obsessed with it.
I know so many of my wife's friends who love that show.
I mean,
she does not. She can't watch it. She's on a 90 Day Fiancé text chain that she can't get out of. She doesn't watch it.
Don't even get out of. Like, just block everyone.
She can't get out of it.
Oh man, that's hilarious.
She's stuck.
So I'll watch like Bachelor in Paradise and nonsense like that because my wife likes The Bachelor and Bachelorette, and like I get into it when I watch it. It's garbage TV. I know.
You want to know what's the worst thing on TV?
Mm.
The news.
Oh, that's
what do you mean?
Cable news.
Oh,
well, yeah.
Because all it is reinforcing what you already believe and making you angry.
Ooh.
Yeah,
that's what it does. I had to stop. Like I just read my news now. Like I can't even.
Do you
like,
still get
I don't
angry
even,
and shake your computer?
Sometimes, but I don't even want like things that I believe parroted back at me because I get angry. And like I don't need this kind of negativity.
Do you ever watch the other news channel? I mean, regardless of what your affiliation is, you watch the other one just to get angry.
No, I don't.
I do.
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah. I mean, like they're like I like to see what both sides are saying. Yeah. I do like to see how people are interpreting the same event two different ways.
Do you ever go places, whether it's a bar or the gym or whatever, and see whatever the news network is that you hate? Because everyone's got one now, it seems, right?
Yeah.
And you see it on, and that makes you mad because you see other people watching it, and you're like, "What are you doing watching this garbage?"
What do you mean going to a gym? What's that like?
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, guys. Here's something I've been thinking about. Do you ever get nervous that your constant sitting around nowadays will catch up with you when you're older? I don't really do much. I don't work out. I eat fairly healthy, but it could be better. Do you think that'll end up killing me or it won't have any effect and I'll live to be 90? If that's the case, just screw you, health nuts.
Message deleted.
We're all going to die anyway, you know? I mean, none of us are getting out of this thing alive. I will say this. I have an injury from playing video games though, for the first time in my life.
Shut up.
I was telling Audrey this yesterday.
Are you sure that's from playing video games? Because you just grabbed your right wrist.
It is my right wrist.
What kind of video games are you playing?
Don't ask.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
He's got the carpal tunnel.
The way my desk is, the mouse, and like just the constant movement on this. I'm playing Borderlands 3. Cool. It's a pain that goes like to my elbow.
You got tennis elbow from not playing tennis.
It's top stories. Here's what's making news.
So you think, honestly, you've only spent $2,000 in the entire past year, in all of 2019, on things that are on sale?
No.
Because my wife, every time that she buys something that she definitely doesn't need, she justifies it the
exact
same
sale.
Way. It was on sale.
Yeah, same, honestly.
Well, yeah, but it was still 100% more than we would have paid for it if we didn't buy it.
But you needed it.
But we needed it.
We didn't save.
She'll even say, I know we don't need this right now, but it was on sale, so I had to take advantage of it.
Because if you didn't get it then, you wouldn't be able to find it later, and it would be full price.
But we don't need it now, and we also are not going to need it later, which means that we just bought something.
You needed
that
we don't need it. You just didn't understand that you needed it.
The psychology of a sale is...
It's not even my house anymore. What do I...
Yeah, you're just the guy.
I'm just a tenant that's about to get the boot.
I mean, does your house look beautiful?
She does a very nice job. She does.
There you go.
But the average person spends $8,000 a year buying stuff on sale.
Sure.
Wow.
I believe it.
Wow.
So if it's normally $100, sale says it's $80, you buy it. Did you really spend $80 or did you save $20? But obviously the thinking here is that psychology works on people. You're saving it. You're not going to be able to get it at this discount in the future. So you best buy it now. $8,000 is the average, which is just so much money.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. If you had, just think about it, like if you saved that extra $8,000 and invested it, put it into your retirement accounts
or whatever, how much further ahead
you would be.
How much do you guys really plan for the future? I mean,
Not at all. Don't
get me wrong. Like, I.
What do you mean?
I've got two kids, third one on the way, and so I got to think about stuff like this. But when it comes to like, so I'm kind of divided, right? Because part of me goes, well, you know, I want to be very careful and, you know, invest things and make sure that I've got all, you know, money in different buckets
just
and stuff like that, just in case.
Kick over tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. So they will be taken care of. But at the same time, I know some people that take that so far that they literally don't enjoy any of their life at all.
I don't.
Because everything is about saving money and thinking about the future. And you're like, well, what about now? You know, what about being where your 2 feet are? You always hear, you know, successful celebrities and sports stars saying things like that. Like, be where your feet are.
Well, you're young now, too. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you are young and you do have your health, like, that is so valuable. Like, I can't envision myself. I literally can't envision myself as an old person. Like, that is not a...
I can't either.
That is not a something I can, like... project onto myself.
Really?
I can't, like, not at all.
Nope. You already act like an old person.
No, I act like an old person, but I still, like, live very impulsively and much like an overgrown child.
But is your wife, is she like the yin and yang in that situation?
For sure
is she like absolutely like really good with her money some foresight for the girl's future?
I'm irresponsible to a line. Like, I'm not in debt, and I, you know.
You're like a functioning alcoholic. Like, you put all your money away, but then any money that you have, that, like, you spend it in an hour. I've seen you do it before.
Yes.
Sometimes not even a full hour.
I've got my 401k, which I'm retiring in. I've got a savings account that I have no access to because it's hard.
If you did.
If I did, there's plenty of nights I'd probably been super drunk and gambled it away or something. Yeah. But luckily, I don't have access to that. But I have my checking account that I use my card with. That is just... whatever money. Like, all my bills go to one place. My wife handles all of that. I give her the money before it even hits my account. And, you know, the rest is just like...
play money.
Do what you want.
Yeah.
And if you have money, you have money.
Dangerous.
If you don't, you don't.
That's dangerous.
But, I mean, I'm saving.
Yeah.
But not probably as much as I should be.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm also not going to be 80 years old. So, like, big dogs don't live long.
Do you just call yourself a big
dog? I'm a big dog.
Oh, shut up.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I'm a big dog.
If you were a big dog, you would be like a St. Bernard.
Yeah. Lazy ass St. Bernard.
No, you'd be like a Great Dane, always running into walls, sprinting onto the linoleum and just crashing into cabinets.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Hey, Wall Nation, coming back to Las Vegas, and we got some tickets. Here is today's question for Know the Show.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
Can we talk about why regulars always want to change the TVs?
What were you watching in your bar?
They specifically wanted to watch...
So Audrey used to be a bartender as well as a server, and she had regulars that would come into her bar. And these were not the good tipping, I'm excited to see you regulars. Mm-hmm. These were the guys that you're like, oh,
always
cool.
Always come in for dollar beers and then like tip a quarter, and they're always there every day.
They always ask for this specific thing to be put on the television. And I'll give you a hint. It's when she lived back in Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky.
702-791-1075. First person in with the correct answer gets set up with a pair of tickets to go see AWOL Nation. Going to be at the Pearl at the Palms on Saturday, June 20th. And again, all you have to do is get the question correct. What is the very specific thing that these individuals wanted to watch on TV when they came into the bar that Audrey was bartending at? And I feel like you had the real ability to be mean as a bartender. I don't know why.
Oh, it was the best thing ever.
Yeah.
There's such a difference. I actually saw something the other day that is so spot on. The difference is between how you act whenever you are serving versus bartending. And they are so polar opposite. It's insane.
Like,
at least
really
in a college
polite,
bar, right?
You're really polite when you're serving and you're like, hello, I'm so excited to be waiting on you today.
So happy to be here. What can I get for you guys to get today?
Oh, I'll be right back.
Oh,
right
yeah, back. Of course. Every single time. And then whenever you're bartending, because you're dealing and you're kind of teaching people how to order drinks, right? And what they are. Because I worked in a very like 21 fresh, maybe even the occasional like, got in there at 19. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They have no clue how to order.
Yeah.
Yes.
At the time, the best place
it
on
was
earth.
The
yeah,
best.
When you were 21.
Yeah,
but
now,
like,
the worst place
on earth. I feel like you need to be sentenced to go hang out at a college bar. If you
I went back actually not too long ago and was there, and I thought that I was going to, my eardrums were going to bust. I was like, I need to put in those earplugs to walk around.
Hilarious.
Oh,
X1075, good morning. What is your name? Karen, what is the correct answer?
Not Karen.
What'd you say?
Kaylin. Kaylin.
Oh, Kaylin. I thought you said Karen. I was like,
I thought you did that as a joke.
No, I listen to the show well too much to call in as a Karen.
Calling in as under right. an alias.
What is the what is the correct?
Horse racing.
Horse racing is right. Which, by the way, is totally appropriate when you're in Kentucky and that's the only thing you can bet on.
That's changing. I guess. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, Karen, we're going to set you up with some tickets. Well, you win some tickets to AWOL Nation at the Pearl at the Palms on Saturday, June 20th. Yeah, congratulations to you. Thanks for hanging out with us.
It is. Yep. Don't write a bad review.
You'll be the one person out writing a review.
AWOL Nation was terrible.
Setting sun where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada